I just wanted to say, it is actually such a blessing upon us that we are able to sit together and somehow celebrate Krishna's appearance day. It is a blessing. How many lives in this world where we running around in ignorance? How much time have we wasted? And now we somehow sit at the lotus feet of Srila Prabhupada and can celebrate Krishna. I very much encourage you after the lecture to also go, if you have not done so already, into the temple room and see this amazing darshan of Shishi Radha Madan Mohan. It's really outstanding. It's really amazing. They're dressed in the peacock outfit. Pooh, it's really something. Good. So let us start with Shishi Radha Madhava. Let me see. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunya Vihari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunya Vihari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunya Vihari. Gopi jana vallava girivara jaji. Gopi jana vallava girivara jaji. Yasoda nandana raja jana Ranjana. Yasoda nandana raja jana Ranjana. Jamunatira Vanachari. Jamunatira Vanachari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunya Vihari. Jaya Radha Madhava Vaikunya Vihari. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Rama.
Hare 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 Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama Rama Rama
Hai go
Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna Jaya Prabhupada, 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 Chila Prabhupada. Jaya Prabhupada, 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 Jaya Prabhupada. Jaya Radha Madan Mohan Radha Madan Mohan Si Radhe Jaya Radha Madan Mohan Radha Madan Mohan Si Radhe Gaur Premanandi Hari 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 Bo. Om. Sorry. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Please repeat after me.
Tate nukampang susamikshamano. Tate nukampang susamikshamano. Bunyana evatma kritam vipakam. Ritvak vapurbir vidadan namaste. Vidadan namaste. Jiveta yomok tipade sadayaba. Tate nukampam susamikshamano. Bunjana evatma kritam vipakam. Ritvak vapurbir vidadan namaste. Jiveta yomok tipade sadaya bak. Veta yomok tipade sadaya.
Yes, please, someone else. A Vaishnavi, please.
Bhagvabhubi miradana namaste.
Thank you very much.
Tat,
therefore, te your anukampam compassion
susamikshamana
earnestly hoping for
bunyana
enduring
eva
certainly
atmakritam
done by himself
vipakam
the fruitive results
rit
with his heart
vak
words
Vapurbihi,
and body,
Vidadan,
offering,
Namaha,
obeisances,
Te,
unto you,
Jivita,
lives,
Yaha,
anyone who,
Muktipade,
to the position of liberation,
Saha,
he,
Dayabak,
rightful heir. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada has said that this statement, which we will hear in a second, should be the guide of all devotees. It's our inner compass, or if you so want, something that helps us to find our direction as we go through this life and this world. Here's the verse for you, please. Listen attentively. My dear Lord, one who earnestly waits for you to bestow your causeless mercy upon him, all the while patiently suffering the reactions of his past misdeeds and offering you respectful obeisances with his heart, his words and his body, is surely eligible for liberation, for it has become his rightful claim. So, wonderful.
Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishtaya Bhutale Shrimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Nitti Namine Namaste Saraswate Deve Gauravani Vacharine Nivishesha Shunyavadi Paskachyane Sadarine Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shivashati Go Bhaktavinda Hare Krishna.
Can you please find me 1816? I will call you when you need 16. Hare Krishna. My dear devotees, this verse describes a person like you all. It describes that person who has given up all other spiritual practices, like some of us were meditating before we came, some others were practicing various forms of spirituality, reading books maybe, and so on. And yes, someone has done all this, and now he has said, no, I concentrate everything on bhakti. Such a person who has made this decision in his or her mind will attain only Krishna. No? The acharyas say, when you have rejected all other processes, like for instance, jnana and meditation is part of it, then you only need to perform bhakti according to your energy level. Whatever energy you have. Some of us have a lot of energy. They rise very early and they can do bhakti activities the whole day. I heard here in Goloka Dham, a minimum is 6 hours. You have to just service. So that requires some energy level, some high energy level, because next to the service you have to do all your chanting, all your reading, all your everything. High energy level. But it is not that only someone who is doing like this can perform bhakti. Valadev Vidyabhushana says, bhakti is not attained by austerities. Bhakti is obtained only by a certain form of shraddha, of faith. And this faith, this shraddha, this inner orientation is described here in this verse. So if you cannot somehow understand the three points of this verse, then even if you don't have such a high energy level as devotees who are performing really amazing services, can you imagine there are devotees here on this project who race every day at, what is it, 2:30 or 3 o'clock? 2:30 every morning, 2:30 Ananda Vardhan. Just think about it, every day, not just one day, not just doing a festival. And then they do service throughout the day. Whew. When I hear this, I go, I'm your servant. I have high energy level you need to have, and so on. But bhakti, I want to say, can also be performed by those who may not have such a high energy level, as long as they understand three things. The first thing is, as you go through life, things will happen. As they say in English, life will happen to you. Life means sometimes good things are coming your way, sometimes bad things come your way. A devotee needs to understand that these are results which come now because I have created them in the past. For instance, in my case, I notice I'm somehow very happy since 1 year. I'm just very happy. I don't know. And I think maybe it is, well, ultimately I think it's Krishna's mercy. But I've tried throughout my life to give my best. It's not always very good, but I have tried. And now I'm feeling very happy somehow. These are the results which have come due to your karma, or there are other things also. Sometimes one is ill. I was in this last year two times quite ill. That is also coming from my karma in the past. No? This is the first understanding. Now, as life happens to you, the good things and the bad things. And I think all of us can say, I really had my share of good things and bad things now. You should remain attached to one thing. Don't be attached to what happens due to your karma. The good things, the bad things. that comes because it's life happens to you due to your karma. But be highly attached to engage with your body, your heart, and your voice in Krishna's service. Even if life is not so sunny at the moment, yes, you think I am a part of Krishna, I belong to Krishna. This material samsara, this ocean, has waves which are high and waves which put me down. But I don't care. I will just continue with my heart, my voice, and my body to engage in seva as good as possible.
Now, Baladev said, if your energy level is not so high, no problem, but continue on the path of bhakti. If you do so, you will get two gifts from Krishna. You just tolerate the good and bad, knowing it comes from your karma, and engage as good as your energy level permits. Then you get Mukti Pade and Dayabhag. That means the gift of liberation. You will be freed from your past karma and the circle of birth and death. And you get, wow, the lotus feet of Krishna. you get the soft foot soles of Krishna, so that one day you can massage them. It's interesting, Jiva Goswami says, when you are a patient, tolerant on the path of bhakti, you don't just get the lotus feet of Krishna, but he says you get the lotus feet also of devotees. There is an earlier part where the saints of sages of the forest of Naimisharanya, they want to get the lotus feet of Parikshit Maharaj. They therefore asked Suta Goswami, please describe those topics of the Lord by which Maharaj Parikshit, whose intelligence was fixed on liberation, attained the lotus feet of the Lord, who is the shelter of Garuda, the king of birds. Those topics were vibrated by the son of Vyasa. I should make it more clear. You all are interested in living a genuine spiritual life. This is your first and foremost interest. Therefore, you have come into this cold... No, this is a warm tent now. You have come into this warm tent, no? And we hear in this time, we hear not so much about the news of this world, but we want to hear the news of great devotees like Parikshit Maharaj, who was walking the path before us. He had this mind, I want to stop this cycle of birth and death, and I want to attain the soft lotus feet of the Lord, who is the shelter of Garuda, the king of birds. No? We hear about these great devotees of Krishna, and we want to follow their footsteps also. So when this is important. So now Jiva Goswami makes, now it comes the second point. If you want to get these things, the first condition was be tolerant. Don't become so upset when something bad happens. I have seen this many times in the association of devotees. Some devotees had very, very bad experience with other devotees. And after this experience, they became so discouraged that they stopped the process of bhakti. Just a week ago, we had a guest a very dear guest from New York. He is a very editor of the Times magazine, very highly posted in the world, wonderful devotee, and he told me his parents had a very bad experience with a devotee. This devotee had a business and he cheated his parents for an amount of, $1 million, you know, really heavy cheating. And the parents had been on the path of Krishna consciousness and had brought their son, this person who told me this, to the temple. But after they were cheated so much by this so-called devotee, they became so discouraged in their heart that they stopped the process of Krishna consciousness. Only 20 years later, this boy, who was now a young man, met devotees again and thought, well, they are good people. My parents had one bad experience with one foul apple, one devotee who was one, can we call him a devotee, someone who tried, maybe he tried his best, but he but was so much a cheater by nature, who knows. I can see only good people here. They are very honest, they are helpful, they are serious. Let me associate and hear more with from them. And then he has become now a devotee. 16 rounds, getting up very early because he has to do this work for the Times Magazine, New York Times, and just very, very determined, very, very good. So don't become so discouraged when something bad happens. It's because it will come and go, you know. Don't pay so much attention. Pay attention to your bhakti. Then you get the mercy of Krishna. Sridhar Swami says, it's still the first point, by the way, that you will obtain bhakti if you stay on the path of bhakti is as sure as it is sure that a son will get his inheritance from his father in due course of time. You know, we all have parents, and these parents will unfortunately leave their bodies, and then all of us will most probably, if the parents still like us, get an inheritance. This is very natural in this way. This is normal, that those who leave this world will leave material things and assets behind, and then they like to give it to their family members. The family members only have to stay alive. So you also only have to stay alive in order to get your lotus feet of Krishna. And to get liberation from the world. Now Jiva Goswami says, is it really so simple? Do you just have to stay alive? That means breathe, eat prasadam, and go to the bathroom. Is this the only qualification? And he says, no, to stay alive in bhakti means you should not be harsh towards other bhaktas. Harshness and other such bad character traits are forbidden. Only if someone does not quarrel with his brothers and sisters, he gets it. He gets the inheritance of bhakti. Those people on the path of bhakti who have not learned the first lesson and who always complain with others when they are suffering or when they feel something is bad, and then are very harsh with the other devotees. And say bad words or act in any way, but they don't stay alive on the path of bhakti. Those who are criticizing Jiva Goswami said they are like living corpses. They are already dead, although their bodies may still walk on the path of bhakti. Therefore, we need to try to give them really our mercy, our understanding, not judge them, but try to revive them, give them a good heart massage, maybe, where they in Vrindavan they see Krishna, 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 and they get a good understanding when they go on pilgrimage and so on. But to stay alive, in order to get your inheritance, you must learn to not be harsh and quarrelsome and so on, and point always with your fingers when something is not going according to your plan. And then, yes, you can expect the compassion of Lord Krishna. So I want to now raise another point. We all have heard that a devotee is free from karma. But here it says in this verse that a devotee should go on patiently suffering the reaction to his past activities. What is it now? Are we free from karma, or are we not free from karma? Hare Krishna. This is, I'm looking at you. This is a difficult philosophical question now. Is what happens to you your karma, or is it something else? I of course have prepared myself, so I know the answer. There is someone who would like to try to give an answer. It's not an easy question. I would encourage the young bhaktas to be silent for a moment. Not. I know. Yes, Gvaidanat. Wonderful, see, Vaidyanath here, he knows everything. Prabhupada says, he says like Vaidyanath, a devotee should not expect immediate relief from the reactions of his past misdeeds. No conditioned soul is free from such reactionary experience, because the very fact that you are in this body in material existence means continued suffering of enjoying of past activities. But then why does Krishna say, Savadamam Parijaja, give up all activities, surrender unto me, and I will free you from all reactions? Is he giving an empty promise? Ooh, this is difficult. Yes, Krishna Chaitanya. Please speak loud enough. Are you Krishna Chaitanya? Yes, you are. I can't see. Yes, speak loud, please.
It seems that Krishna is taking care of us with great attention, but at the same time is kind of in harmony with our past karma. Yeah. Not just the simple reaction of the karma, but taken care by Krishna. Also.
Yes, wonderful. All your answers are amazingly strong answers, yes. Yes, Krishna sees our karma. It's on one side. He has the karma. And he is the devotee, and he sees, my devotee still needs to learn something here. He is not yet fully surrendered. He's not yet fully in line with my plan. So let me give him a little from this pile here. This pile. Let me give him from this pile a little. So that he learns what he needs to learn, and so on. And Vishwanath makes it very clear. I think we all like Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur very much. Prabhupada quotes him always like anything. He says, in the case of a devotee, the results of one's own deeds, you know, experiencing the results of one's own deeds refers to acts in bhakti. When a devotee, in other words, is joyful, then the result is, and happy, that is a result of his performing good activities and bhakti. But if a devotee is suffering distress, it means he has done aparadha. He has committed offenses, and as a result of the offenses, the aparadhas, and there are various offenses against the deities, against Vaishnavas, what is their deity? Vaishnava aparad, Nam aparad is there, Seva aparad. Then when you feel distress, it's because you have done something wrong in this field. But when you feel joy as a devotee, it means you have done something good in bhakti. Hare Krishna. So Krishna sees, here's my devotee. He does good things in Krishna consciousness. He does bhakti. Let me give him some joy. That is from the joy portion of the karma. Let me, that he's happy. And when the devotee says, oh, my devotee, he has blown it here. He has done some aparad here. Okay, he needs some little snowball in the face, you know, karma, bad karma. This is how Krishna takes care of his devotees by giving them, Prabhupada said, a token. Token means like a gift, a present from this pile of karma. I like this very much. When a while ago, one devotee, wonderful devotee, left his body in Mayapur. He had was diagnosed, had a heavy diagnosis, and then older devotees were commenting on him. He was a very, very wonderful devotee. And one devotee said, he left us, and that is perhaps the, he said very gentlemanly, perhaps some karmic reaction was there. As Vaidyanath said, when you live in this world, everything which happens is the material things are under the law of material existence, and material existence therefore means continued suffering but also enjoyment of past activities, no? And that's how your body works. It's a puppet, it's a karma puppet. It is moved by karmic strings around, and everything which happens, the cause has to be in there. However, as Krishna Chaitanya added, what happens to us is directed by Krishna, who takes care of his devotee and uses these karmic strings on us to make us to let us go to our life. I want to make one last point. I said this also in Switzerland. My dear devotees, who will agree with me? Don't we often learn the most from our most difficult experiences? Let's think in your life. Many of us have learned the most from our most difficult experience. And when you have a negative experience, a difficult experience, don't so much focus on the negative side of the experience. There is a positive side also to it, and that is that you are just now taught a lesson, plus some old karma is leaving you. I remember in the old times, medicine, whenever you were sick, the doctor came and he had the feeling you were sick because of bad blood. That was the old medieval understanding. And what they would do, the doctors, is they would do something like bloodletting. They would take blood out of you, like there were these, wie sagt man das, Blutegel? Leeches. You know these things? They look like little snakes, and they put them on and they go and suck blood like vampires. I had this treatment a few times. It's a little, you say, leech Prabhu. Oh, leech Prabhu, don't leech so much. yes, so this is called bloodletting. This was the old understanding. I think sometimes it is really good, but it's not in all cases good. So I always, when I go through suffering, and I have seen a lot of suffering in this life, I always think, oh my, now my bad blood is going, my bad karma is taken away from me, and I will become healthy after this. And I've always seen this, that we learn them very often from difficult experiences. So don't see them just as negative things. See the positive side, and they will shape your character, make your talents, which are still in you, and you have not even seen them, they will make them come alive. Mm-hmm. And then you realize what is in you, and so on. I have written down here, make the stumbling blocks your stepping stones and turn your wounds into wisdom. That is how a devotee can learn. Good. This is what I wanted to explain today. And while this is going on, main point is constantly evade Krishna's causeless mercy. I spoke a voice message today in the morning to one very nice devotee, and said, this is how we as devotees live. We always feel, oh Krishna, kripa karo, kripa karo, give me mercy, kindly give me mercy. And we know that anything which comes our way, it's Krishna's mercy to us. He wants that we stay on the path of bhakti, and we reach in the end his lotus feet. This is how a devotee goes through life. Oh, kripa karo, kripa karo, kripa karo, give your mercy. No? And those who scream the loudest, they get the most. Once Srila Prabhupada was walking through Central Park. That's a beautiful park in the midst of New York. You wouldn't expect it there. It's a huge thing, huge, ideal for walking, for chanting, and for getting a little peace from this monster called New York. It's in the midst of there. So Prabhupada went there to feed the ducks. No, actually he went for his morning walk, but then devotees had taken old chapatis and they were stopping where the ducks were, and the devotees were throwing chapatis, you know, little pieces of chapatis. I don't know if Prabhupada fed the ducks himself, but the devotees did. And there was one duck who was really in the front and going quack, 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 quack. And Prabhupada then asked the devotees, study this. Who gets the most here? This duck who's making the most sound, he gets the most. And therefore we find in great Vaishnava acharyas like Narottam Das Thakur, Rupa Goswami, they pray such heart rendering prayers. Like yesterday we read a little from the Kapanya Panjika Stotra of Rupa Goswami. He says, I'm here in this forest of Vrindavan and I'm crying out loudly for your mercy. I'm taking my hands over my head. That's a gesture of humility. You can either do this by throwing yourself down on the ground, or you can go like, oh, Krishna, Krishna, kripa karo. And I'm praying that please, let me hear the tinkling of your anchor bells. Let me smell the fragrance of your beautiful body. I cannot tolerate life without you any longer. So crying, expecting the mercy. Do this also while you're here in Goloka Dham. today is a wonderful darshan of Radha Madan Mohan. I think it will be open after the class. So you, if you wish, you may go and pray and see the darshan of Radha Madan Mohan, if you wish. Good. So I have reached my end here. Let me see if you have any questions regarding these subjects or even other subjects. I see Gaurahari has a question. Yes, Gaurahari. We will have a microphone for... We forgot with Vaidyanath. Vaidyanath, also, sorry, we almost forgot with the microphone. Yes.
Hare Krishna, thank you very much. I was just reflecting how our life could be easier if this, not concept, this understanding of whatever happened is under the hands of Krishna, how our life will be much more easy. And I just wonder, how do we, because that's also, I hope I'm not always asking the same question in the lecture, but the question is, how do we bring this philosophical truth, this truth is into our life? Because we hear that in lecture, we agree, we say, oh yeah, but then when the life goes on, it's just so difficult to pierce through and see the things that, okay, it's all in the hands of Krishna, I'm receiving my karma. Is there, do you have any tips for us to enter quicker or deeper into this understanding so that it reveals during our daily life?
Yeah. Gaurahari makes a good point. If we hear all this lecture, and then attend, if we are alike, if we are alive, I mean, or awake, I wanted to say, we go, yeah, it makes sense. That's why we go out, and then life happens, and then it's so difficult. The whole art of bhakti is to become more aware of Krishna. Prabhupada called his movement, therefore, Krishna consciousness movement. It means we have to somehow bring Krishna back in our consciousness. And I personally know of no better and more effective way than this, that you start bringing Krishna into your life when you do your sadhana. The most obvious sadhana is when you chant. And you think that Krishna is now next to me and listens to me. After all, we hear, at least in the tent or in the temple room, and when we read the books, that Krishna is a spiritual personality and he's identical with his sound. The sound is from the absolute world where there is oneness of sound and personality. You know? So while you chant, it's very easy to think that Krishna is right there. You chant Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, and you feel you are aware Krishna listens to me. At that time, you put the distraction monster somewhere else, because what is when you talk and you check all the time your emails while you talk with someone, that doesn't work, you know. Sorry, it's a good phone call, Krishna. I have nothing against your mobile telephone. So. You think Krishna is just hearing next to me. Now, if that is too difficult, Bhaktivinoda Thakur gives another advice, which works really nice. He says, chant before the deity. Now, if you don't have deities at home, or they are at the moment resting maybe, or something, you can have a picture of Krishna. And somehow by making, during your japa, the practicing really japa, what it means, you get this consciousness of Krishna in your in your heart. It comes in your heart and in your mind, and you are very, and you have to practice somewhere to remember Krishna always. So start when you do your sadhana, you know, your japa, start there, and then the effect or result of it is that you have it more, that it's easier in your life. You must know one thing: as a conditioned soul, we have also conditioned thoughts. These conditioned thoughts or habitual thoughts are very much ingrained in your wiring here. It's called the neurotransmitters. You know, the transmitters, they create certain pathways. Certain neurons connect with each other, zoom, zoom, and then you have certain pathways, and it stays like this. If you want to break old habits, there is only one way. You have to create new habits. I want to give you an example. People from my generation, so we're a little bit rebellious against the society, we would hear certain musical songs. And we liked them very much. We would dance. We would know the lines of the songs. I think like all modern people, they know have some earworms, no? They know some songs. So when I hear, I'm now as old as Methuselah, but when I hear the old songs, you know, they may be on the radio of a car which passes me, or I may be, where do I hear them? You know, in the world, you know, I may visit someone and the old song is on. Immediately I can see in my brain, wow, that's groovy. You know, that's, I recognize it in my brain. It's a neuro process which happens. And it's like this. It is so deeply ingrained. If you have done something and you have done it with an emotion, you know, we like these protest songs very much. Oh, we shall overcome. I could sing all the lines for you if you want, not during the lecture. So you know, it's just there. It's abgespeichert, we say it. It's like a program in there. So if I want, so the remembering Krishna is unfortunately not in the program of a conditioned soul. It's not there. And if you want to do that, you need to practice this. You need to habitually bring Krishna into your mind. This is called the first level of smaranam. You draw a memory into your mind. How was it? How, what did I hear? Acha! You draw it in your mind. It doesn't come on its own. You make the effort. That's the first stage of a smaranam or meditation in Krishna consciousness. Later, when you are more advanced, these memories of Krishna flood you. It's said like a constant stream of honey which does not interrupt. It is streams, only blissful memories of Krishna. No, we shall overcome or any memory like this. But you need to practice this. Therefore, do you know, you all have to see how you do it. I always recommend this. Read some prayer before you go to bed, you know. You need to train this unwilling brain, this forgetfulness machine up here. It's programmed. Each one of us, conditioned soul, is programmed for forgetfulness of Krishna. You need to change that. Hare Krishna. Krishna, Krishna. Narayani, namostute. Narayani, namostute. There's a bhajan like this. Yes. Ich verstehe es, yes.
Also, du hast das Beispiel gegeben, von dem Devoti in Mayapur, der seinen Körper aufgegeben hat, ein sehr großer Devoti, in dem Zusammenhang, dass wenn ein Devoti leidet, er seine Resultate für Vergehen bekommt. Also dass das Leid eines Devotis das Resultat von Vergehen sind. Jetzt in diesem Fall habe ich mir so gedacht, ist das nicht ein... Könnte das nicht auch ein Resultat von Mercy sein, wenn ein Devoti gehen darf? Also wir alle müssen ja gehen, wir wollen ja auch hier raus und wir müssen und wir können uns ja gar nicht entscheiden, ne, ja oder nein. Also wir sterben ja irgendwann. Und ist es nicht auch Mercy von Krishna, wenn er uns holt, wenn er sagt, okay, diesen Devoti, den möchte ich jetzt gerne bei mir haben oder so.
Yeah, yeah, sehr gut, sehr gut. Narayani has asked a very important question, which throws a very important light on our subject today. And she said that, I quoted Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, that the happiness and distress of a devotee is the result of either nicely performed bhakti or aparadhas, which happen in bhakti. So she was thinking about this devotee in Mayapur who left his body and asked, isn't it also a mercy if a devotee can go? We all have to die. Isn't it a kind of mercy? Couldn't that be the explanation also? And I really want to say that I'm very grateful that this is there. First of all, a devotee sees everything as the mercy of Krishna. Birth or death, everything is the mercy of Krishna. And to be allowed to leave the body in Mayapur is the exceptional, and the holy Dham is the exceptional mercy of Krishna. I remember this devotee when he became so sick and he needed oxygen and whatever professional care, they brought him to Calcutta. He did not really want this, but he surrendered to the doctors who advised him. And then all of a sudden he said, take me to Mayapur. And he said it so strongly that he overruled the decision of the doctors with this. And then, of course, if it's a desire of a devotee, then everyone immediately took his body. I mean, he was very weak at that time, brought him to Mayapur. And I don't know, maybe 2 days after he left the body, 2 days after. Everyone felt it was the mercy of Krishna. Because, you know, he would have been in Calcutta, outside of the Dham, which was not such a good place to depart this world. But no, in his mind, the strong decision came, take me to Mayapur. And he was immediately brought to Mayapur, and we all felt, well, this was the direct arrangement of Radha Madhava and Lord Nrisimhadev, whom he had served throughout his life. This was extraordinary mercy. But Narayani, besides this case, I know your question is more general, not just on one case. Yes, Krishna takes care of his devotees, and he does not. This is so nice. Krishna does not judge us like we do. He feels we are like little children, and he accepts us. I had asked this devotee earlier means many years ago, do you think we practicing devotees will go back to Godhead? Like I was very concerned about myself. I said, do you think a person like me, who's really not good, will go back to Godhead? And he said, of course, Maharaj. Then I said, please, don't just say of course. Give me a reason. And he said, see, think of Krishna like Pitamaha, the father of all conditioned souls. When he sees that there are souls, very few souls usually, who are running towards him, and on the way they do, like we have here a very strong little boy called Madhava, he may sometimes go and do things which are not so polite, you know. But when Krishna sees that the devotees do some mistakes, he says, yeah, they quarrel or they do this and that, but I nevertheless give them my mercy. Like a parent, you are the mother, and you know, sometimes your children must have been impossible to deal with, but you said, yeah, I have to not react now, let me give motherly affection and give them something to eat anyways. No, you accept the children. So Krishna accepts. And therefore, everything which happens to a devotee, ultimately, he sees the cause behind all other causes is Krishna's mercy. And he opens himself for this mercy. Oh, please give me your mercy. There's a prayer by Prithu Maharaj which says, give me whatever you think is best for me. Sometimes neem juice and sometimes sweet rice. No? Give me whatever you think is best. You know better. Good. Fine, I think I will end here because of time. Thank you very much. I wish you a wonderful Jamashtami. It's very important that you stay for a few more minutes. Gaurahari will give us an orientation over the festival. Mm-hmm.
Thank you, Guru Maharaj.